Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn, fixing horrifying AWS bills here in San Francisco or wherever I happen to find them. This episode is sponsored by Fearless Salary Negotiation. Josh Duty was earlier last week on Screaming in the Cloud, my other podcast with a slightly more serious slash less sarcastic bent. And he talked about how he spent time helping engineers negotiate job offers, particularly at the big five tech companies. If you're considering taking a job offer at one of those companies, or frankly anywhere else, you owe it to yourself to visit fearlesssalarynegotiation.com. Josh brings an art and scientific approach simultaneously to a field that most of us struggle with. Check him out at fearlesssalarynegotiation.com and tell him I sent you. Now, what nonsense has Amazon gotten up to over the previous week? Let's find out. They started with an announcement about S3 introducing same-region replication. It felt a bit like Groundhog Day instead of Halloween because they announced this exact same thing on September 18th. Turns out that was a bit of a bug. What they'd meant to say was that it was now available in the Chinese regions. Good. On to things that actually changed. Amazon tipped their hand a bit by announcing that Amazon Chime now supports an in-room experience on Dolby Voice Room. Now, as we know, there are only two customers for Amazon Chime. One of them is the Duckbill Group on my end, and the other is Amazon themselves. We don't use Dolby Voice Rooms, so clearly Amazon does. Amazon ElastiCache announces support for modifying Redis authentication tokens, which is no big deal, because with the insecure Redis cluster that I manage myself, anyone on the entire internet can modify my Redis authentication tokens for me. Amazon ElastiCache now supports online data migration from Redis on Amazon EC2, but why would I need that in light of the previous item? Amazon RDS for PostgreSQL supports user authentication with Kerberos and Microsoft Active Directory. If your answer to what stack do you use is horrifying enough to awaken an elder god from the bottom of the sea, this release is for you. Amazon RDS for Oracle adds support to invoke EMCTL commands for Oracle Enterprise Manager Cloud Control, which sounds like an Amazon product name, except it's not. One Oracle product can now communicate with another Oracle-branded product, and that is apparently newsworthy. Amazon SES is now available in three additional AWS regions, bringing the total to six regions. I'm not making that up. It might also be worth mentioning at this point that Amazon SES launched in beta in January of 2011. Amplify CLI enables creating Amazon Cognito user pool groups, configuring fine-grained permissions on groups, and adding user management capabilities to applications. If they were serious about it, they would come up with a way to empower moving users from Amazon Cognito right the hell out of Cognito and into DynamoDB, which human beings might be able to understand. Announcing image scanning for Amazon ECR, or Elastic Container Repository. This leverages the open-source CoreOS Clare project. If your entire business was built around scanning repositories for infected Docker containers and now finds itself in trouble, I do have some sympathy for you, but I have to wonder how exactly you didn't see this coming. It's a single feature release away from your business not having a business model anymore. AWS Certificate Manager Private Certificate Authority, CA, now enforces name constraints in imported CA certificates. This means you can restrict certain names for your internal certs. So if you issue a cert internally at Amazon for ec2.amazonaws.com, you can ensure that nobody within that corporate domain can ever speak to lightsail.amazonaws.com. Obviously, they've been working on this one internally for a while. AWS CodeStar enables automating toolchain setup through CloudFormation. You can now do in CloudFormation what you previously had to do by hand. You can also create the initial commit for your repository through CloudFormation, which means that CloudFormation can now somehow commit to Git. That should replace the whale in all of our nightmares. Speaking of things that aren't completely horrifying, let's talk a little bit about Manifold, who is sponsoring this episode as well. Manifold allows you to sell your API-first products on the fastest-growing communities and marketplaces on the planet. Whether you're building a single SaaS product or you have a thriving cloud platform, Manifold has you covered. Find out how you can add your products to Manifold today, or alternately, how you can find fascinating API-driven products on platforms that you visit. For all of those and more, visit www.manifold.co. My thanks to Manifold for supporting this ridiculous podcast. Now back to horrifying things. AWS Elastic Beanstalk adds support for PHP 7.3 and .NET Core 3.0. Remember the days of using PHP and .NET? It feels like a long time ago, years and years. Think back to those ancient days when Beanstalk was also a product that mattered. Speaking of ancient times, AWS for WordPress plugin is now available and has a new Amazon CloudFront workflow. WordPress hasn't been cool technology since the start of about how long it takes to kick off a CloudFront distribution update. Latency is a killer for all of us. AWS Global Accelerator now supports EC2 instance endpoints, but should be turned off entirely due to its contributions to climate change, I assume. I'm really just going off the name Global Accelerator here, which sounds at least as dangerous as the Microsoft Reactor. AWS Secrets Manager now supports larger sizes for secrets and resource policies and higher request rates for get secret value calls. This is my favorite replacement database for DynamoDB, and it now supports larger records and higher request rates so that I can scale it out way further, way faster. For all your horrifying needs, think AWS Secrets Manager. AWS Service Catalog enables the transfer of provisioned product ownership to other AWS accounts. Someday, maybe we can transition other resources to other AWS accounts, like EC2 instances, S3 buckets, and responsibility for your latest data breach. AWS Snowball Edge now supports volume sizes of up to 10 terabytes. I'd make a dirty joke here, but everything I can come up with is just too snowball edgy. Create serverless applications with an automated deployment pipeline from the AWS Lambda console. Why in the world would you build a serverless application through the console? Because it's your first time and you don't realize how terrifying that is. But now you can get further down the road to misery before realizing you have to throw it all away and start over with an infrastructure as code tool or some kind of framework like serverless framework, because now it also comes with an automated deployment pipeline. You still don't want to build these things in the console. Trust me on this. I have the scars to prove it. Amazon AppStream 2.0 adds support for embedding streaming sessions within websites, which is a terrific enhancement for AppStream, but a terrible blow for websites now that even more useless crap can be shoved into them. Amazon S3 Inventory now reports the intelligent tiering access tier for objects. The opaque black box of S3 objects and S3 buckets becomes ever so slightly less opaque. It does come at a cost, but it seems to be manageable. Every 4 million objects in S3 inventory cost you a penny a month. Amazon CloudFront in China announces support for AWS CloudFormation and real-time metrics in Amazon CloudWatch. And look, I do get that China is a completely modern country, but from their AWS service announcements, I can't shake the feeling that it's like traveling 10 years into the past. In the works, AWS has announced a region in Spain coming late 2022, to early 2023. Optimistically. This means, of course, that the rain in Spain falls mainly on the control plane. Setting up a CI/CD pipeline by integrating Jenkins with AWS Code Build and AWS Code Deploy is the title of a post in the AWS DevOps blog. Because integrate our tooling with this much better known competitor is totally a sign that these services are seeing widespread adoption everywhere. And finally, you can accept an ANDB addendum for all accounts within your AWS organization. This is used in Australia and probably New Zealand too, because as an American, I think of them as being the same thing. Now, what this does is it means that you can click a button and receive an attestation that you need to operate within compliance requirements. Now you can just download those from AWS Artifact. And that's all that happened last week in the world of AWS. My name is Corey Quinn. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes. If you hated this podcast, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes. And remember, you can always follow my nonsense on Twitter at QuinnyPig, Q-U-I-N-N-Y, Pig, or alternately, on the web at lastweekinaws.com.